And your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Just like that little boy said, Daddy, why do you eat unleavened bread? Turn over another page to Exodus 13. I'm going to read verse 3 through verse 8 on Exodus 13. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the Motherites and the Jebusites, and which he swore to you, your father, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Brethren, you know, a few years ago, the United States was flowing with milk and honey. But they've cut God out. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. To God's people, this season and all of God's holy days are deeply, deeply meaningful. But you must ask yourself, how many meaningful are they to our children? God says it is our responsibility to teach the children, those young ones who are teachable. And I realize that there's some here that's not quite there yet. But we do have several little ones here. And let's turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 11. It says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. And if you go back to verse 7, it says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Everybody probably knows this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a lot of people think that he will not depart from the church, but it is talking about what he is taught. What he is taught. And we call them adults now that are not with us. But if you talk to them, they still know what they were taught. It hasn't gone away from them. They still know. Do we ourselves deeply understand God's holy days? That's a question. And most important, do we set the right example in observing these holy days? Unless we take them seriously, how can we effectively express to our children the significance of God's holy days? You know, the ancient Israelites in slavery in Egypt certainly were forced to take God's plan seriously when God began to work with them. Times of national crisis like wars, economic depressions, enslavement, all this, you know, happened in Egypt with the Israelites. But they were probably harder on the children than anyone else there. And without a doubt, this was true. During ancient Israel's hard bondage in Egypt, imagine the plight of those Israelite children. Especially during the month and the weeks leading up to their exodus. Slavery, no doubt, broke up families. I'm sure it did. People living in extreme poverty. And those Israelite children were not afforded good opportunities for proper education. The hard labor for which even children were taken up in. I'm sure that when they became teenagers, they probably did as much as the adults. And it took a toll on them, the children, their physical life, as long as their mental health. It took a toll on them. Nothing, not even human life, could stand in the way of the massive building projects that the king had going. So God began to deliver Israel. Moses came on the scene at that time. Through miraculous and devastating plagues, God drove Moses to the point where he would release Israel. But let's go back and think about the Israelite children again. While the grown-ups were no doubt bewildered by the course of events that were happening, the little children must have been most confused over it. Even frightened and fearful for their lives, they must have been. But Israel followed God's instructions, prepared for the very first Passover. The very first Passover. If you want to read the story about the very first Passover, which I'm not going to go through, it's in Exodus 12, verse 1 through 14, talks about the very first Passover. But I am going to turn back to Exodus 12. And I'm going to read verse 14 through 25. Oops, got the wrong one here. No, I decided not to read that. Too many shalls there. But I am going to read verse 26 and 27. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service, that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our household. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped God. God is not the author of confusion. We know that. He wanted Moses to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt. These amazing events would only add to the children's wonderment. They're already confused and they don't know what's going on. God wanted his people, down to the very youngest. He wanted every person who could understand. He wanted them to know about his plan, about the Holy Day plan. So God provided a means for the children to learn about the events and the ceremonies of these holy days. You know what that thing he provided? Parents. He provided parents. They have to learn so they can teach the children about the holy days. And I got down here, yes, he provided parents to teach their children. Then and for every generation thereafter. So God placed a heavy responsibility on the parents, didn't he? Parents are to teach the children about things of God, including the holy days, showing the plan of the salvation. One of the most effective ways for them to have done so was to set proper examples. We as parents, and we up here, must set the proper example for our children. Therefore, God allowed the Israelites, past age of 20, because of all the rebellion and all that, except Joshua and Caleb, he allowed them to die before they could reach the promised land. And Moses, before Israel crossed the Jordan River, he did teach the young people a few things that the parents failed to teach them. Moses did teach them. So what does this example from the Israelites' history mean to us today? Let's consider our children again. You know, don't they live in a pretty bad situation today? I mean, they can't even walk down a street in the city without getting without getting shot, as a matter of fact. They can be walking down a busy street and someone just stop and shoot them. You know, this pressure and temptations and enigma of life in this world exact a high price in terms of our children, doesn't it? Physical, emotional, and even the spiritual health is in danger of our children. Aren't our children in a situation similar to the ones that were in Egypt? I would say that our children might be even in more danger than back then. We parents are coming out of the sin of spiritual Egypt, is what it is. And our children may be confused. If we are called begotten children of God's family, our children are specially blessed by God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to read verse 14. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. God wants them to know about his plan and his way of life, as much as he wants us to know. But brethren, we better know so we can teach our children. And God has, like I said, he provided the parents, and not only the parents, but whoever is up here speaking to teach our children. God's plan is by explaining the holy days, and beginning with the spring holy days, which we have already had Passover, and now we're just about to finish Days of Unleavened Bread. I want to turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read verse 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 8. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Sounds to me like you should have your children on your mind all the time. In verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Sounds to me like it's pretty important. These instructions apply just as readily to us today, for we, God's called out people in the end time, are spiritual Israelites. And teaching our children is not just a matter of speaking to them. Much, if not most, of our teaching is through the example that we set. So are our children receiving positive impressions from their parents? So how can we promote our children's understanding of God's holy days? We should rehearse the history of the Exodus with our children, helping them to imagine what it was like to be a child in Israel at that time. This will make the story more interesting to them when you read it to them. We should explain what these days mean now in the New Testament time, which we are in. Their meaning is much more profound today to Christians. We can review the facts about Christ's sacrifice and what it means to us now and what it will ultimately mean to the children and to the whole world eventually. We can teach them by letting them help us, you know, like helping maybe do some baking of unleavened stuff. I say stuff because I don't know what it is. I know Darlene makes them butterhorns, which are pretty good. And by helping them maybe clean out a cabinet or something. The holy days depict God's great master plan to which we have devoted our very eternity. Shouldn't we have a thorough grasp of these festivals to teach our children? If you haven't read that book, you know, The Holidays or God's Holy Days, I suggest that you read it because it does tell the story about them, about each and every one of them. Brethren, what we need to do, I know this is the first Holy Days. This year, we need to just settle down and study. Start studying a little harder. Let's determine to deeply understand and appreciate God's holy days this year, more than we have in the past, possibly. Maybe some of you have already done that, and that's good. And let's help our children learn about and enjoy and revere God's holy days by teaching them all of God's holy days. God commands us to do so. So we've got to set the right example and teach them. We are going to be taking up an offering, and I was going to mention, if anyone needs a green envelope, please raise your hand, and we'll make sure you get one. I'm going to go ahead and go into the offertory. We're not going to have any announcements until this afternoon, so. everybody knows Deuteronomy 16. We're going to turn there anyway. Deuteronomy 16, I'm going to read verse 14 through 17. Deuteronomy 16, verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates." Pretty well covered everybody, didn't we? Verse 15, "7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God, in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice." Verse 16 says, 3 times a year, and this has been explained a lot, I know, 3 times a year you actually will have 7 opportunities to, I lost my mind. You know what? How many Sabbaths can you get in 1 month? Anyway, 3 times a year, all your male servants, all your male, and it should be actually heads of households, because I know there's a lot of heads of households that are not male. They shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, and at the feast of tabernacles, and of course the last great day. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. I would like to turn to Mark 12. One of my favorite stories during the Holy Days. Mark 12, we'll read verse 41 through 44. Mark 12, verse 41. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in very much." Now Christ wasn't there to see how much people put in, but he did want to see their attitudes, how they put it in. "Then one poor little widow came up the aisle, she threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant." You know, that's not very much. And my margin says here that it's a fraction of a penny. Now, you can imagine these rich guys watching her and thinking in their mind, what's the use? What's the use of that? But you know what? Christ read their minds. "So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury.'" He knew what was on their mind. "For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood she put in." So, brethren, we will be taking up an offering. I got another paper here somewhere. Okay, our offertory music will be by Chelsea Shaw, and Rain is the name of it. It will be played on the piano.